Pater,
sta benedendo.
Filius e Spiritus Sanctus.
That was the Ita Missa Est, and you heard the final blessing of Pope Francis at the end of the first inaugural,
well, the only
inaugural Mass of his pontificate. And now people are starting to applaud, as you can imagine, waving their flags and thanking Pope Francis for being with us here this morning. And now we all sing the Salve Regina in honor of the Virgin Mary.
Vita dulcedo et spes nostra salve. A te clamamus exules filii Eve. A te suspiramus gementes et flentes. In hac lacrimarum vale. Ea ergo advocata nostra, illos tuos misericordes oculos ad nos converte. Et Iesu benedictum fructum ventris tui, nobis post hoc exilium ostende. O clemens, o
now we all sing the Te Deum, a very solemn hymn of praise and thanks to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The bishops and Pope Francis are now heading back into the St. Peter's Basilica, where Pope Francis will change back into his white cassock, and where he will have a meeting with the representatives from all the different countries that were here this morning for this inaugural Mass. That is also the reason that they chose to do the tour of St. Peter's Square with the Jeep before the start of the ceremony. And that way they can keep everything around St. Peter's Basilica right now, which is much more easy logistically, and also will keep the overall duration of this event relatively limited. It is now 11:30, which is exactly on schedule. That is when they hoped to finish Mass, and I think it is again showing the craftsmanship of all the people involved in the papal liturgies here, to see how smooth everything went. Communion, the distribution of communion was handled by hundreds of deacons, and they were easily recognizable because they were accompanied by acolytes that carried white and yellow umbrellas, and so it's very easy to spot where there is someone distributing communion and just walk up to one of those umbrellas and get in line. Communion was distributed mostly on the tongue. This is something that more and more the Vatican emphasizes, because in these big crowds you don't want people to walk away with communion, with the host, the consecrated host. And so in order to prevent any possibility of profanation, most deacons were instructed to give communion on the tongue. However, in certain situations where there's so many people, it's almost impossible to do that. And so I saw some of the deacons still giving people communion on the hand, but verifying that people actually consumed the host right there on the spot. Again, it is a bit difficult when you have, I don't know how many people are here, actually 100,000. It's difficult to gauge. I can't see the end of the Via della Conciliazione, but I've got the impression that most of the people are here on St. Peter's Square itself. And if I stand on my toes, oh no, wait a minute, no, the entire, well, most of the Via della Conciliazione is filled with people, so that would be easily 200,000, 300,000 people, so similar to the crowd that we had for the first Angelus. Some people are already starting to leave the square, heading home to get lunch with their families. The bells are ringing in the distance again. And of course, since there is no new tour of the Pope, and the Mass was ended with this very solemn Te Deum that is sung in the distance, you didn't have that traditional explosion of joy at the end of Mass. Instead, Pope went inside to greet all those presidents and kings and queens. And well, I'm glad that today had both elements, both this first part where he would just drive around, again, not protected by bulletproof glass or anything, stopping from time to time to embrace people, close to everyone that came here very early to be present for this Mass. And then, of course, well, the Pope is also the head of state of this state of the Vatican, and so he also has to greet all those presidents and other officials. They too are children of God, right? That's I think how you have to approach it. It struck me that immediately after his election, Pope Francis called the apostolic nuncius. So it's the I'm never sure about that English vocabulary. I think it's the apostolic nuns of Argentina, and instructed him to go talk with the bishops and to tell them, the bishops of Argentina, to not travel to Rome today for this Mass, and instead save the money that they would normally spend on this expensive trip to Rome to spend it on the poor. And a lot of people have done that, not just people from Argentina, but I've heard that also several other representatives of countries have, instead of traveling to be here during this inauguration, have given that money to the poor, which I think is pretty impressive, you know? So also the big bells of St. Peter's are now being tolled, which I always love. It's that huge sound that is echoing over the square. And of course you hear that nice music in the background by one of the bands that is playing. The sun is shining all the time. There's quite a bit of wind. But overall, it's a really nice springtime atmosphere here on St. Peter's Square. And a beautiful festive conclusion of this entire week after the opening of the conclave, the election of Pope Francis, his presentation, his first days, the Angelus on Sunday, and now on Tuesday, this final inauguration mass here in the Vatican, which of course marks the beginning of this pontificate. And just like you, I'm eager to discover what this Pope will bring to the Church. So far, he has made an incredible impression on everyone. A big example, also to me personally, his humility and his poverty are definitely also inviting me and you and all of us to rethink what do we do for the poor, how close are we? And as the Pope has said in this Mass, in his beautiful homily about Saint Joseph, how much are we custodians for each other? Do we really care for each other? Do we love one another enough? And do we not only take care of the people around us, but also of ourselves and of the creation that God has given to us? We have a responsibility, and we have to carry out that mission that God entrusted upon us, that mission that is for which we have an example in Saint Joseph. We have to carry that out with love. I think it was a very beautiful, simple message, but very inspiring. And so if this is the tone of voice of this pontificate, of this Pope, I think that he will have a huge impact on the Church and on the faithful. Because this pontificate, right from the start, has not just been a pontificate where we talk about changes in structure or in procedures, but it's most of all a pontificate that starts off with an appeal to our hearts. If we change our hearts, if we change our mentality, our actions will follow, and that will transform the world and the Church. And that, I think, is a beautiful message and makes me hope for the future. And again, that too was an element in this homily today of Pope Francis. We should not give up on hope. We have to keep that hope alive, that star of hope he was talking about. And we have to ask Mary, the Virgin Mary, to pray for us so that we can all be people of hope. And I think that is exactly what both the Church and the world needs. It's hope. It's this optimism, this faith. Because ultimately, hope is more than just emotional optimism. It is hope is always based on faith that God will take care of us, that He is saving us, that He will guide us throughout history, no matter what happens. And even if we go through dark times, He will not abandon us. And I personally feel that this Pope has been a huge gift of God to the Church of today and to the world. And I can't wait to unwrap it. From St. Peter's Square, I'm Father Roderick, thanking you once again for joining me on this glorious day. Thank you for your prayers and your support. Continue to pray for Pope Francis. Continue to pray for all of us, for me also, that we may be your servants, that we may do what God asks us to do, to serve you, our brothers and sisters, with all our energy, with our hearts, with our minds, and with our prayers. I will see you soon, and God bless.